This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
With what took place on Wednesday, we've heard a whole lot of stuff this week, a lot of ridiculous takes, a lot of hateful type speech, a lot of folks saying things that honestly they're just confused. We've seen some support as well, in a good way, for the family and all regarding Charlie Kirk's assassination. The media seems to call him a conservative operative or an influencer, but we need to understand that first and foremost, Charlie was a missionary, and he said that often. Jesus was the driving force of his life, and politics was merely a tool. It was just a tool. The gospel was always the point with his ministry, with Turning Point. We need to also understand that he wasn't targeted because he was a conservative. That's not it whatsoever. He was targeted because he was confronting the gates of hell, and that's what we've all been called to do, amen, as believers, is to confront the gates of hell. We know that this was obviously an evil act. It could never be justified. And you know, I talked to our first service this morning, and the truth is on the other side of the planet, martyrdom, it's a regular thing. We just don't see it much here in America. Somebody who is just killed in broad daylight for their faith and for just expressing their views on things. But with that said, Galatians 4:16 says, "Am I therefore becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Listen to me just for a second. Truth does not enslave us. Okay, it sets people free. That's what truth does. The word says that it sets people free, and it only feels like hate whenever someone hates the truth. We need to understand that. Now, right now, fear is trying to convince Christians that they need to back up, that they need to close their mouths, that they just need to kind of dial it back and just be a little quieter. I need to tell you today, more than ever, we need to speak the truth. We need to just let people know who God is, what he's done for our lives, because people need the truth, and this is not a time for us to become silent, amen? And Charlie showed joy under fire because he knew his mission came from heaven. And so does ours, everyone. So does ours. Now, students, I want you to know that if you're maybe college age, if this has kind of rocked you, I just want you to remember that in the last 2 years, we have seen just God's Spirit move across numerous college campuses because there's been a hunger for God. And so many people have come to know the Lord as a result. And in this one instance that took place, although it was a big thing, this is not a time for students to back up. Amen. Because our college campuses need Jesus more than ever today. And so parents, if you're a little fearful about your students, listen, God has his hand on your students, and he's calling them to make a difference in their college campuses, in their high school, in their junior highs, in their school. Come on, somebody. And so this is not a time for us to get quiet. This is not a time for students to get quiet. Step up and speak boldly and seize your calling. Seize your calling. Even in grief, though, we still have hope. We always have hope, right? Because of what he's done for us. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in darkness," but then I love this, "and the darkness has not and will not overcome it." Will not overcome it, amen? And so that's a promise that we have today. God's kingdom hasn't wavered, y'all. Now, evil fired some shots Wednesday, but we got to remember, he's still on the throne. God is still on the throne. His mission marches on, and y'all, ours does as well. Amen? And so today, come on, let's just pray for the family. Lord, we thank you, God, for the legacy, Lord, of Charlie Kirk. Lord, what he's done to bring so many people into the kingdom of God. And Lord, today we come in agreement, Lord, for a family that's hurting. And God, we just ask that your peace, Lord, that peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, will just comfort them right now, God, and in this very dark hour for them. And Father, this does seem as though it's a dark time in our country, But Father, we know that God, again, you're still on the throne. And Satan, we go ahead and we just tell you, what you meant for evil, the Lord's going to turn it around in Jesus' name. You may have thought that you won on Wednesday whenever he took his last breath, but in the same way that you thought you won whenever Jesus took his last breath on the cross, it backfired on you. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the harvest that's coming in, Lord, the harvest of souls that are coming in, God, because of the ministry and the legacy, Lord, of Charlie Kirk. And Father, we even speak right now, God, as there's so many of his videos that are just completely just all over the internet right now, that, Lord, the ministry, Father, from the years past, that God's souls are coming in because they're watching it, Lord, and the truth is being revealed to them right now. And Father, we just say the blindness that some have had, God, Lord, that right now eyes are being opened. Eyes are being opened. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, your hand is on our country. Father, we thank you that you're blessing our country. Father, we thank you for, Lord, just revival that's about to sweep across our country. God, we speak that right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God some praise today. Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Pastor Nolan. Are y'all ready to get into the Word? Come on, y'all ready to get into the Word? Well, let's do it. Let's do it. Recently, I've had this great opportunity, and that's to be around a couple of pastors and to meet with them on a regular basis, men who I've greatly, greatly respected for a long time. One of them is a pastor that out of his church, actually three of the biggest churches in the nation have come out of. He's their pastor. Those three churches together see 100,000 people every Sunday. And then another one's a pastor out in Denver, and these guys are speaking into my life. In fact, I'll be on a Zoom call with both of them on Wednesday, and we're meeting regularly, and it's just a blessing that I've had this opportunity. And these are a couple of men that I never thought that I would have had the opportunity to spend time with. Have you ever had somebody in your life that you thought to yourself, man, it would be great to be able to just spend time with them? And I'm not talking about an influencer, and I'm not talking about a celebrity. I'm talking about somebody that you felt that your values lined up, somebody that you felt could really speak into your life and really be beneficial to your life. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have you ever had somebody like that you wanted to spend time with? Well, a lot of times we want to spend time with other human beings, but we forget that we have the opportunity to spend one-on-one time with the creator of the universe, with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords, with the one that has all the answers that can truly benefit our lives. Today, y'all, we're calling our teaching Intimate Friendship. And what we're doing is we're revisiting the topic of prayer. That's where we were last week. And so we're going to talk about prayer again today. And I hope y'all are okay with that today. We're going to get into that. Now, I want you to understand just a few quick thoughts as we hop in today. God never intended us to live only by what we can do on our own strength. Prayer is what brings heaven to earth. It's what makes heaven invade earth. It's where average people like us get to walk in supernatural power. Come on, somebody. That's good news right there. We can walk in supernatural purpose as well. And God calls us to accomplish things that we can never accomplish on our own. I need you to hear me just for a minute today. If God's plan for your life, if you feel like you know it, and it doesn't scare you, it's probably not his plan for your life. That was better than the way y'all responded. Here's the thing, because God doesn't give us a plan that we can accomplish on our own, just ourselves. Listen, this gene, I'm not smart enough to be able to do what he's called me to do, right? I have to have him. I have to rely fully on him to be able to accomplish what he's called me to do. And it's the same for you as well. But the secret ingredient is prayer. Last week we mentioned that. We said that Jesus was able to do everything he did. The power, the miracles, him accomplishing his plan that God had for him. It was all because he had a life of prayer. We need to remember that. Now, many people here, they know the power of prayer because maybe they've prayed and God's answered their prayer. Or maybe you're not a believer or you're a new believer and you're not 100% sure, but maybe you've heard of somebody who, you know, prayed at some point and then God responded to their prayer and God did a work in their life. But my thought this morning is this, is What if we started every situation that we're going to get into throughout our week, what if we started it with prayer? What kind of difference would it make? Before we send our kids to school, we pray, right? Pray for them. Before we have meetings that, you know, we don't really know how they're going to go, we pray. Before we hire that employee, we pray, Lord, is this the right one? Before we stop by the car dealership on the way home and we never intended to stop by the car dealership and we feel like we got car fever and we're about to buy that car that we probably don't need to buy, we pray, right? But what would happen if we prayed before all those types of decisions? In John 15, verse 4, it says, remain in me. Somebody say remain. And I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. That's a lot of truth right there. Yes, I am the vine, and you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Get this, for apart from me, what can we do? Nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So we've got to be connected to him. Disconnection from him keeps us just relying on our own strength. We must realize that. And prayer is not just a box that we check off because we want to be a good Christian. That's not it. True story. I'm just going to get real with you this week. I was kind of running behind on my normal schedule. My morning got all messed up one day. And so I get to the office and I had my things that I needed to do. And the first one was prayer time, right? And so I got settled down. And I really spent a lot of time with the Lord. And I went to cross it off my list because I had listed four things. I'm like, I can't cross it off my list because I always tell people it's not something we just cross off our list. So it remained at the top of my list all day long. But everything else got crossed off. I just felt it was like the Holy Spirit said, you can't do that. But anyway, it's not something we just check and say, well, we got this done. No, we got to understand that it's connection between us and heaven. And God wants us to live a life where we remain in him. Amen? Where we remain in him. And so today, if you're here with us and you feel like your prayer life isn't where it needs to be, maybe you've just been at this place and you're like, okay, I don't have much of a prayer life. I don't know how to get started. Whenever I start to pray, my mind just goes all over the place. If that's you, I want you to pay attention today because we're going to give you some really basic steps of how you can start to have a lifestyle of prayer. Amen? And so how your prayer life can just get better and better and better, because here's the truth that we all need to understand. Prayer affects every aspect of our life. And I want to say this, it positively affects every aspect of our life. Amen? Are you all ready to go? All right, let's kick off with this. First of all, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. Prayer needs to be a priority in our lives, and priorities are what we put first in life. So for instance, if we're Christians, right, if we're all Christians, or if you're a Christian, then God needs to be at the top of your list. If you're married, then your spouse is number two. If you have kids, then your kids are number three. By the way, they never get above your spouse. They always stay below your spouse, okay? God gave your spouse before he gave your kids. Then things like work and ministry and everything else starts to just fall into place behind that. But I need you to understand this. If God is not number one, then everything else is automatically out of order. He's got to be first. But whenever we talk about priorities, I like the idea of praying early in the first part of the day. Because in life, and in Scripture, what you do first communicates priority. It communicates priority. And we see in Scripture that the first has the power to bless the rest. Okay, the first has the power to bless the rest. We see this with prayer. We see this with finances and in other areas as well. And so praying early gets God's attention. You see, whenever we're maybe early in the morning and we're praying, what we're doing is we're saying, hey, God, I want to be used today. Lord, I want to be able to make a difference. I want to be able to advance the kingdom. Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone today. And so, Father, I just ask that you'll just reveal to me how I can do that throughout the day. Does that make sense? You see, it's kind of hard to do that whenever you're praying in bed before you go to sleep. And don't tell me you're getting a head start on the next day. Okay? No. You need to do it early in the morning, earlier in the morning, so then the rest of the day can be blessed. In case you didn't know this, there were two reasons that the early church moved worship services from the last day of the week to the first day of the week based on the Hebrew calendar. The first one was is to set precedent for the rest of the week. So we start our week off in the house of the Lord. That's what we're doing, right? And then secondly, it was because Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday as well. But just like with the principle of the tithe, giving God the first part shows him that we believe that he'll provide for the rest of the day. We believe that he'll bless the rest of the day. And honestly, if you say, Pastor Gene, I don't have time to pray. Well, just a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, set your alarm clock a little bit earlier. Don't shout me down too much. Because if you were getting up to go hunting, I bet you could change that alarm clock. If you were getting up to go save your spot on the beach down at Destin, I bet you could get up a little bit earlier. Or you may say, well, if I spend time praying, then it's going to cut into my day. I fully believe that God will restore whatever time you felt like you lost. God will restore. It'll be a positive thing for you. Amen? It'll be a positive thing for you. In Daniel 6, we know that Daniel was a man of God. In Daniel 6, there was a lot of political stuff going on, but the second half of verse 10 says this, says, Daniel prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. You see that? Three times a day, just as he had always done. And we see that he went to his room and he opened the windows whenever he prayed towards Jerusalem. He had a schedule. And we know that God responded to his prayers. Whenever you read the life of Daniel, God responded multiple times to his prayers in big ways. So we need to make an appointment with God. And y'all, we need to keep that appointment with God. Come on now. Right? We need to keep it with God. Have you noticed that there are some things that we will not flex on in our daily schedule or weekly schedule? So some of us just have things that we will not flex on. You know, most mornings I'm at the gym at 5 a.m. and that's just my normal thing of what I do. There's some of you that maybe you do that, or you go for a walk, or maybe there's some of y'all that you stop at a certain coffee joint every day on the way to work, and if you don't get your coffee, you are a monster. I mean, I've heard, I don't drink the stuff, but I hear about some coffee addicts and how they respond if they don't get it. But here's the thing, some of us, we don't flex on certain things, or maybe it's during the week, our family always does this, or we always do this, and we don't flex. Prayer needs to be one of those things that we don't flex on. Why? Because it's intimate time with God Almighty. Amen. The one that can completely change any situation that we're walking through that's not ideal in our life. But sometimes we get so caught up doing other things rather than prioritizing that time with him. And we need to, amen? So we need to start early. But in addition to just prioritizing prayer, we need to also have a place for prayer. Again, I'm just trying to give you some easy steps today to improve your prayer life. We need to have a place of prayer. Jesus always prayed in a certain place. Some say that they have their prayer closet. What that means is they kind of have their regular place that they go to. They may or may not actually have a closet that they pray in, but that's what people mean whenever they say prayer closet. In Mark 1:35, it says this, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now let's look at this. It was early in the morning, so that's how he started his day, right? It was apparently dark 30, as we like to say. He got up, he left the house, and he went off to a place, a solitary place, a place where he wasn't going to be disturbed. Now, theologians feel like Jesus always prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for the most part. The reason is from the garden, there's this beautiful view of Jerusalem, the city that Jesus loved. And so they believe that that's where he started most days. Have y'all ever noticed that whenever you go to pray, if there's a whole lot of stuff going on around you, it's really hard to stay focused? Anybody ever been there before? It's just the truth. You know, It's hard sometimes to pray in the car because you're trying to watch where you're going, and you need to be watching where you're going, right? Sometimes our kids out of nowhere, and I don't know why it's this way, because normally I have to drag them out of bed. But some days they just decide to get up super early. And so I'm in the living room praying. Normally kind of the way our schedule is I get back from the gym, and so 6 o'clock I'm praying. Regina's already gone to get ready. And so I've got the living room. The kids don't get up till about 6:45 or something like that. And so it's just me in the living room, and it's quiet, and I'm praying. But sometimes the kids get up early, and I don't know why. Right? Because yesterday my son slept till 10:30. Wow. Right? But no, all of a sudden he's getting up at 6 one day. What's this all about? Go back to bed, right? But, you know, so they get up and they start rummaging around, and you hear the bowls get out for the cereal, and, you know, you just hear them talking, and it's really hard to stay focused. Well, we really need to find that place where we can get away. Those types of days, that's where, okay, my prayer time just got shifted maybe to a little bit later, but maybe you need to find a closet, literally. Maybe you just need to go to your spare bedroom. Maybe you need to go for a walk and literally leave your phone at home. You know, when it's quiet in the morning, it'll be okay without a phone for just a little while, won't it? You know, and just get alone with the Lord. We need to have that place of prayer. Now, in addition to the place of prayer, we also need to have a plan. Somebody say a plan. A plan of prayer. You know, and this is very important. Let's talk about this just for a minute. We got to prioritize prayer. We need to have a place where we can go pray, but then we need a plan for prayer. If you are serious about any meaningful relationship, you're going to have a plan. I mean, so young men, if you're pursuing a female, then probably before you have a date, you're already thinking where we're going to go. Hopefully, you're going to iron your clothes. Hopefully, you're going to wear deodorant, use mouthwash, run the car through the car wash, and if you just said, haven't been doing it, haven't been doing it, haven't been doing it, haven't been doing it, no wonder you're single, right? Because we have a plan whenever we're trying to pursue someone, whenever we're, you know, wanting to have a relationship with somebody. Whenever I used to pull up to pick Regina up, I mean, I would change in a Best Buy parking lot right down the road from her house, use a half gallon of Scope before I pulled into her driveway. I mean, I was smelling good after that 2.5 hour drive to go see her. We need to have a plan. And whenever we pray, we need to have a plan as well. Because here's the truth. We don't fly by the seat of our pants. Without a prayer plan, your mind will run aimlessly. You'll become bored and you'll quit prematurely. How many of y'all can say that's ever happened whenever you've prayed? It's definitely happened to me before, because we need a plan. In Luke 11, there was a time whenever the disciples are watching Jesus pray, and apparently he was going to town, and they were like, man, we want to know how to pray like him. And so after Jesus was done, the disciples asked, they said, hey, will you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus said, okay, this is how you need to do it. Now, what he taught them is what we know of as the Lord's Prayer, right? Now, the Lord's Prayer was never meant for us just to recite word for word, line for line, over and over. That's not what the Lord's Prayer was meant to be for us. What it was meant to be was an outline for us. And whenever you look at that, in fact, we've taught this before here, it's in different sections, and it's just basically a guide of how you can pray. It kind of, you could almost say it covers the bases, right? And it's very powerful. Whenever you really dig into the Lord's Prayer, it's extremely powerful. But we need to have a plan. And even praying the Lord's Prayer and really digging into each section is really wise. But an outline keeps you on track. Every morning I have a prayer plan. For instance, I start off my prayer time by just praising God. By just praising God. Why? Because he's worthy of all of my praise, right? Because I know everything that he's done for me. I know that he loves me more than I can ever imagine, even though I'm a complete goofball. I know that there's no one above him. I know that every knee will bow to him, right? I realize that he is on the throne. I understand that he has forgiven me, and I can't thank him enough for that. Amen. And I realize that he has blessed me in so many different areas of my life. I just get really excited about it, and I love to brag on my God. By the way, in Scripture, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so whenever I'm just praising him, he's just coming and getting right there in the middle of my situations. I mean, it's just me and him in the living room at that point. So I like to start off with praise. And then I like to just pray in the Spirit for a while, because Jude 1 says that it builds us up. It says that he's working on our behalf in ways that we don't even know that he's working on. And then after that, I start to shift my prayer. And there's times where I might go in and start to pray like the Lord's Prayer and break it down and go through all the sections. Or maybe the prayer of Jabez and go through and I break all the sections. Or maybe I just, rather than doing either of those, I might just go towards different things. And I pray for you. I pray for my family. I pray for what's happening at Church Live. I pray for specific needs that I know that are going on. But I have a plan is what I do. And that has helped me to stay on track so much more than whenever I just used to start. And then all of a sudden, my mind's just wandering. Come on. Y'all have been there with me, haven't you? Your mind just wanders. So you need to have a plan as well. Now, talking about a prayer plan, I want you to understand that in prayer, God will often give you ideas and thoughts and reminders. Let's talk about this just for a second. Have any of y'all ever been praying, and it's not one of these times where your mind's wandering. I'm talking about you were praying, and like it was, like you were going, and then out of nowhere, you just have this really random thought. And it wasn't a bad thought. Maybe it was a reminder. Maybe it was I need to make sure I get this done today kind of thought. But at the same time, maybe you felt a little guilty for having that thought because you were really praying and really digging in, but then this thought comes out of nowhere. Anybody ever been there before? Look at what John says up here just for a second. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you." Somebody say teach you. Teach you all things, and he will remind you. Say remind you. Remind you of everything I've told you. I want you to think about this just for a minute. Sometimes we'll beat ourselves up while we're praying and these things just pop into our mind and we're like, why is it I can't be focused? I've said that to myself. But sometimes it's the Holy Spirit reminding me of things. So it's like, hey, Gene, don't forget, you need to call such and such and set up a meeting. Oh, thank you, Lord. I forgot all about that. Right? Or maybe we've been praying about something here at the church, a decision that we need to make and just haven't had clarity. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just speaks to me and says, yeah, this is how you need to go about that. Oh, thank you, Lord. Or maybe you're just praying and the Lord says, hey, Neil, don't forget to pay the water bill because it got covered up on your desk. And as a believer, we need to make sure that we pay our bills on time, right, somebody? That's not a bad thing. It's the Holy Spirit reminding us. It's the Holy Spirit teaching us. Come on, y'all. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's there for our benefit. So don't just, you know, beat yourself up whenever you have those thoughts. And it's good to even have a notebook because he'll give you those God ideas at times that you need to jot down. He'll give you solutions to problems as well. So we've talked about the priority of prayer. We've talked about the place of prayer. We've talked about having a plan. Now, our fourth point today is the persons of prayer. We want to talk about the persons of prayer. And this is going to go kind of in a little bit of a different direction because I kind of gave you three things to really focus on with your prayer life. But I do want to talk about the persons of prayer. Whenever we look at the Godhead, whenever we look at the Trinity, it's made up of three, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons. And we relate to each one of those persons in a different way. Just as a heads up, our view of God determines our relationship with him. Our view of him determines our relationship with him. But unfortunately, a lot of people, even Christian folks, they have a view of God that's a little skewed, that's a little off base. And what prayer does is prayer makes you see God for who he really is. You see, the more you spend time with him, then you really understand him. Have y'all ever not known somebody really well and maybe you heard something about them, but then all of a sudden you spend time with them and you're like, they're the nicest person in the world? Like, I had no idea they could be so sweet. The more time we spend with the Lord, the more we see who he really is. And so today, just for a few minutes, I want us to talk about the Godhead, the Trinity, and the characteristics of the three. One of the best descriptions of the Trinity is actually seen in Paul's benediction, his closing prayer of Corinthians. And so this is the Message translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Paul says this. He says, may the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Isn't that beautiful? May the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So here Paul introduces the Trinity to us, but he does it by giving it some personality. And I want us to kind of look at these three really just for a minute. So for instance, the amazing grace of Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Paul's saying that we need to understand who Jesus really is. Jesus is the one that's carrying our prayers to God. Okay, that's why we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Y'all have heard that before, right? He's the mediator between God and man. He connects us with God. As a matter of fact, Hebrews tells us that right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and he's talking to God about you. He's talking to God about you. So let's just think about this just for a minute. Let's just say Jesus is talking to God about Tabitha over here. And he says, Father, Tabitha's having a really bad day today. She's hurting today. She's dealing with some rejection. She's dealing with some fear. And she's dealing with some pain. And Father, I know exactly what she's feeling because I've been there. Because while I was on earth, I experienced everything that she's experiencing right now. Isn't that incredible? The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. Just so you know, Jesus so desperately wanted us to be connected with God that he went and paid for all of our sins, past, present, future, right? So that we could be put right or put back in right relationship with God. But he's taken care of our sin, and so he's able to connect us with God. Does that make sense? And whenever I talked about that example, like, you know, you go through this and he's pleading on your behalf. Look what Hebrews 4 says. It says, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So listen, everything we've ever experienced, every hurt, every pain, he's experienced it. Why? Because he came to earth. Now, whenever we look at the very first part of that scripture, verse 15, whenever you look at verse 15 in the American Standard Version, it says, he was touched with feeling for our infirmities, which means this. It means that every place you've ever been hurt, physically, emotionally, any temptation that you've ever dealt with, he has personally felt it. That's strong, y'all. He personally felt it. And so there's times whenever you walk through something and you're like, nobody could ever know what I'm experiencing right now. He's the only one. He has experienced it. He knows what you're going through. Listen, he was on earth for 33 years so he could know exactly what it is that you go through from day to day and what you feel. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is Paul speaking. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Whenever we come to him after messing up, he's headed to the Father on our behalf. And that's such good news. The amazing grace of Jesus. And then Paul follows by saying the extravagant love of God the Father. The extravagant love of God the Father. Now, many relate their relationship with God based on what their earthly father or how their earthly father treated them. And I know probably in this room, there are a number of situations where there, you know, somebody's earthly father was not that good to them. I know that. We've talked to some folks and it wasn't pleasant. Some of y'all, you've had great experiences with your father. You had a great father. But here's what I want you to understand. His favorite term to be called, his favorite title to be called, if you're going to call him anything, call him Father. He loves that. He loves to be called Father. And here's what I want you to understand. If you've experienced pain from the past because of your earthly father, I need you to hear me today. That's not the way your heavenly Father operates. He's full of love. He's full of love. He's so madly in love with you. And Psalms 103 says this about your heavenly Father. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him, and by the way, whenever you look at the word fear there, it means honor and love. His unfailing love towards those who honor and love him is as great as the height of heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear, those who love and honor him. Y'all, we have got to change our view of God if it's not been good based on how our earthly father treated us. We've got to change it if we want to grow closer in our relationship with him. Amen? You know, I mentioned that he loves to be called Father. He truly wants us to have a close relationship with him. I've got a 10-year-old. 9-year-old. They're 12 and 9. That's what they are. I keep thinking they're 10 and 13. They're a 9-year-old. And Audrey and Daddy-O are like this right here. It's so interesting to see that connection. Audrey can be having the worst day. I mean, and this happened like 3 times this week. So it's not like something that rarely happens. And I can just say, come here, baby. And just get in my lap. And within 30 seconds, it's turned around. I don't know what it is, but I thank God for it. You know, that connection there. But here's what I want to tell you. Whenever you're having your worst day, here's what he's saying. Come here. Let me just love on you right now. Come on. Get up in my lap. If you had a dad that whenever you were having a terrible day said, suck it up and get over it, that's not the way God is. That's not the way your heavenly Father is. He wants to be called Father. He just wants to love on you. Come on, somebody. He wants to love on you. And then lastly, Paul says the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Whenever church is over, whenever your prayer time is over, here's the good news. The Holy Spirit goes with us. He goes with us. Now, some folks, they just want to stick with God the Father and Jesus. And they're just not so sure about that Holy Spirit, right? Because they've heard stories and they've maybe been to some church services where it got wild. Here's what I need somebody to hear today. If you've ever felt that way, like whenever you hear Holy Spirit, and by the way, the King James Version refers to him as the Holy Ghost, which makes it sound a little weirder to some people, right? But if you felt that way, I need you to just know this. He's God. He's as much God as Jesus is. He's a third of the Godhead. And so if your view of the Holy Spirit has been a little off, it's time for you to spend a little bit of time with God and repent. Amen? Because again, he is God. But whenever we talk about the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, his name in Scripture is Paraclete, P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. Now, what that means is it means the one who's called alongside of you to be here to assist you. How many of y'all need some help in life? Come on, with decisions, just need wisdom. You need to kind of be shoved sometimes this way, shoved this way a little bit. Listen, he's the one who at times you don't know what to do, and then all of a sudden he drops it into your spirit what you're supposed to do. He's the one that whenever you go to do something, he says, that's not the way you should do it. He's your helper. He's the one that maybe whenever you're in a restaurant and you see somebody and you have this feeling, you know what, I should just pay for their meal. I should bless them. That wasn't your smart brain that came up with that idea. That was the Holy Spirit dropping that down in you, right? He's the helper. Listen, he's also the one, whenever you stop at that dealership on the way home to look at that vehicle, he says, no. That's him. He's your helper. He's your helper. And we need a helper, right? We need somebody to keep us on the right track. But he puts these checks in our heart whenever we're doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. I mean, he's such a benefit for us. He's our helper and he's our friend. And again, he's there for our benefit. But getting back to our scripture in 2 Corinthians 14, I think Paul listed these three in order for a very good reason. The reason is this, is because we can't go anywhere without the amazing grace of Jesus. You see, we've got to go to the cross first and know that he paid it all, right? And then we can experience the extravagant love of God the Father after that, who loves us more than we'll ever know. And again, he's not a big scary monster who's looking to zap us whenever we mess up. Again, that's not it. He wants to be your heavenly Father who loves you so much. And then lastly, we have that intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit who leads us, who guides us, who directs us, who's there for our benefit. He's always with us. Isn't that great that he's always with us? He's always with us. Just real quick, I love to talk about the Holy Spirit, but just as a reminder, whenever Jesus had walked out of the grave, just before he ascended, he told the disciples, he said, you need to remain in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And the reason is this, is because he knew that they were going to need power to be able to go forward and accomplish the mission that he had for them to do. They were going to need the Holy Spirit's power. It's to our benefit, amen? And if you've ever felt like you were just constantly getting whipped in life, the Holy Spirit can turn those things around. Amen? So come on, church, just lift your hand today, because I just want to speak over you what Paul spoke here in 2 Corinthians. Today I pray the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you will today, just bow your heads and let's just close our eyes and let's just have a minute with the Lord. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege, we have the ability, Lord, to approach you. Father, to have a real relationship with God Almighty. Lord, whenever we look at other belief systems out there, God, whenever we look at other religions, Lord, no other can say that. God, we can have a relationship with you, and we're so grateful. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who's our mediator. Father, we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit for our benefit as well. And Lord, I just want to speak over Church Alive, God, and everyone that's here today, that Father, we just, Lord, grow. Lord, our prayer life, it just grows, God. Every day it's just getting stronger. Father, that we prioritize that one-on-one time with you. Lord, that it becomes part of our regular schedule, God, because once again, Lord, we know that time spent with you is never wasted, God. It's always going to benefit, Lord, every aspect of our life. And so, Father, help us to have that realization so that we truly prioritize, Father, our prayer time. Lord, that we find that place. God, that we have a plan. In Jesus' name. And God, I just speak right now, Lord, for some that have maybe struggled with this, that Lord, right now, they're just going to, Father, just leave here saying, you know what, we have got to do this. I've got to make this change in my life. That, Lord, they'll do it early because, God, we know that the first will, Father, bring blessing to the rest. And Lord, we're going to see that we can be a blessing to others, God. We can advance the kingdom, God, because the doors you're going to open every day, God, because of time spent with you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.